house is filled with animals.
Yeah.
Rashi, where did all the animals come from?
Well, I had to have somewhere to put them until I sell them all on eBay.
Well, how'd you get them all in? My God, is that a bear?
Yeah.
Where'd you get a bear from?
I bought it.
From who?
Well, they're on discount. I used to have a glass menagerie, but I decided since they were all so cheap, I would just get a bunch.
Okay, but that doesn't answer the question. Where are these animals all coming from?
Oh, the national parks are shut down, and so they're all on discount, Dad.
Oh, that's right. The government went under, so,
Yeah, I'm buying them cheap, and I'm selling them expensive to private buyers.
How much did the bear cost?
Who does it matter? He's staying here for free.
Okay, all right. The fireplace is filled with possums.
I know.
Oh, my God. Where's Super Rika? He can help us clear some of these things out of here.
He's bringing in a bunch of caribou. They're going to live in the backyard for a while.
Oh, my God.
You might not want to take a shower.
Hi, this is Paul Dini.
This is Misty Lee. What is going on with this?
Well, the government shut down, so...
I know, I saw somebody posted a thing that said, Happy birthday, Yosemite, too bad no one can visit you today because the national park is closed. And I thought, Oh, Sierra Club posted that.
Yeah. Well, I did some reading up on it just now, and apparently the government has put all its animals from all the national parks on closeout because they are government property. All those years Yogi Bear was making jokes about it, turns out that's right. And they're having a half-off sale on all wildlife.
Oh, that explains Deanie's arc.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, we have two Boston Terriers, two sock monkeys, a thylacine, and
a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah, and whatever Miss Damour, whatever species she is, I think she's some sort of reptile.
She's certainly a monster.
Yeah, here already. And then now we've got all these other creatures in here. And now there's an elephant in back, because Rashi said they were cleaning out the National Zoo in Washington. Mm-hmm. So he had that shipped in, too. Oh, my God.
God bless him in his entrepreneurial spirit.
Okay. Well, I guess maybe we could have rides on the animals and hire ourselves out for birthdays or something.
I suppose.
When's the government going to open up again? I mean, does this mean, they kick everybody out? Or
no,
we're still getting mail, right?
We're still getting mail because the post office is funded by postage, primarily. They do get some governmental stipends, I think. But there's a whole list of what is and what isn't shut down. And someone actually said 900,000 workers furloughed. And someone said, well, if they're unnecessary, why do we employ them like at other times? I don't think anybody's unnecessary.
Yeah.
But they were saying that a lot of veteran disability checks, like the regular scheduled checks, will go out. But people waiting to be processed and hoping for payment are going to have to wait because the paperwork people are out of office.
Yeah.
And so it's a bunch of people like that, and that's what's going on.
What about Medicare and
Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security will continue.
Oh, that's good for
because that funding
who are on those. Yeah.
That funding is allocated, before. I think they're like a year ahead or whatever the plan is, that's approved long in advance. And so that money and those administrations are already funded. But there's a whole list. Ruth posted, my girlfriend Ruth posted a list of what is and isn't open during a furlough.
So the goal is to get back to work, right?
Well, you would think. But I think that, there's something bigger going on. One of the senators out of Texas actually had a really nice commentary on it. But I'm going to let everybody find this stuff out on their own because I really try to stay out of politics.
They're
not
going to close the banks, are they?
The banks?
Banks aren't government owned.
Banks are private owned.
Okay.
They just have FDIC.
Yep, they're federal regulated, but they're not funded by the government. Well,
Unless they are, or something.
Yeah.
All right, well, okay, I don't know. The whole thing, I read about the people trying to get on the Obamacare website. Had trouble with the computer systems, like that was all higgledy-piggledy.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, they opened it for the entire country. What is that? How many million, hundreds of millions of people have to access that?
Well,
like I was telling you today, you would think that they would have parceled that out and said, okay, we're going to go in alphabetical order. Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut. Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, and
Idaho, Illinois, Indiana,
Iowa, and Kansas. Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts.
It seems like we learned the same song.
I think we did. The United States, the United States. I love my country, the United States.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so anyway, they're musical interlude. But so I think that they should have gone...
Back when I was a kid, they had just let in Delaware.
Delaware?
Yeah, Delaware was just admitted to the Union back when I was a kid.
Delaware still isn't invited to the party for some reason. They're just too small. So anyway, they... I wish that they had compartmentalized and parceled it out and gone in alphabetical order and said, this day is Alabama, this day is so-and-so. But it just seems like it's like you use the words higgledy-piggledy, and I think that that's exactly what this was. It was just very, very, very unorganized. And I saw something that actually startled me this weekend. One of the guys from Blue Cross Blue Shield had the biggest smirk on his face while he was talking about poor people having to buy their own insurance. And he was just, this was obviously Blue Cross's big chance to insure the entire country.
Okay.
And it was just one of those things where it was like, wow. You know, like it just, he wasn't saying anything like that, but his face was.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all that CIA stuff, you know, like I'm going, oh man, this guy's getting a big payoff out of this. That creeps me out.
I think it's all a con game when it comes down to it.
Well, isn't it, though? You know, I mean, Tom Keegan, who's a director I worked with on a video game recently, said that his daughter had a serious medical injury while they were in the UK and spent 2 or 3 days in the hospital, had to have tons of magnetic imaging, x-rays, all this stuff, and it cost them exactly nothing.
I'm convinced my brother had an accident in Thailand. He got a motorcycle accident.
I'm sorry.
He was told that he wouldn't be able to walk traditionally, but because he was in Thailand, they were able to do a lot of surgeries and physical therapy and stuff like that that he would never have been able to afford out here.
Yep.
Ever. Mm-hmm. Ever. And he's walking again. No back brace or anything.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, someone was someone had posted that we pay 4 or 5 times what other countries in comparison pay, and we're at the very bottom of the totem pole quality-wise. There was a really nice video that you were watching that I had watched 2 days before you about why medical care.
I saw that the US is so expensive. The one going on Facebook and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yep, saw that. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was really interesting and educational.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous when and this wasn't in the video, but this is something else I've heard. When a nurse, when you're in the hospital and the nurse comes in and it's time for your medication, she gives you that little white cup with a pill in it. Mm-hmm. The white little white cup costs as much as a pill. I mean, it's like they'll bill you $10 for the little white cup.
Wow.
And they'll bill you for her handing the cup to you.
Yeah.
And they bill you for every step of the way you're in there. The only person who doesn't get billed for anything is the visitor who comes to see the person in the hospital. Of course, they'll bill them for parking. But it's just, it's unbelievable. I get enraged, actually, when I hear about advances in medical science where you can clone something or grow back parts of a missing body or something. It's like, how does a regular person ever attain something like that? You can't be rich enough to afford anything but basic health care. I mean,
maybe if you're in the right country.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We were talking today. I mean, thank God. When I was much younger and I had to join the animation union, they sent me a letter. They said, you're working in animation. You must join the union.
Mm-hmm.
And you must pay us, around the time it was about $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I was outraged. For one thing, I wasn't making anywhere near that kind of money, you know, where I could pay $1,000 comfortably. And it's like, I can't pay that much money to join a union. What does a union do for me? I don't get royalties for my writing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't own the characters that I create. I don't, you know, only thing, all they have is like a dental plan and a health plan. I mean, is that fair? And now, years later, I'm going, yes, that is fair, because it's pretty nice having health care and dental care that I don't have to worry about. And that is actually, when you work in the business and you automatically, some of your pay is allocated toward health care, it keeps it going year after year. And when all said and done, both the Screen Cartoonists and the Writers and Producers Guild is pretty good as far as healthcare goes.
They really are.
Yeah.
Well, with the exception of the fact that one time they said, we're not covering medicine for the stomach anymore.
Right.
Weird.
I was on.
Like, well, how do you just pick a body part
here's
and go,
the thing.
Not covering?
I was on that. I was taking that
Nexium.
Nexium for a stomach disorder. And I was going in, and every month I'd get my Nexium filled, and I'd pay a copay of maybe $10 or $20 for the Nexium. Pretty good deal. The next time I go in, and they're saying, okay, your copay is $180. I said, for what? And it was $20 last time, and they said, I know, but, you know, read the fine print when they send you, you know, notices. They take certain medicines out of the care, off the list. So I called the union about it, and they said, well, there's been so much unemployment in the animation union. So many people have had stomach problems that it's the demand for Nexium is way up. So we took it off the list. So, you know,
we don't because have everyone to needs it. We decide that's the one we're not going to get.
Yeah, yeah,
that's awesome.
There you go. And then there are other ways around them. Like for instance, they used to cover glasses and frames. Now they only cover glasses, and the price of frames has skyrocketed. So if you go to the optometrist, your glasses are, let's say, $200, and you have to pay for half of that. So you're getting it for $100. Then the frames they show you start at $300. And I'm going like, no, I'll take the prescription and I'll go to, I'll either fill, I have all my old frames are in good shape. You need to put the old prescription, the new prescription in old frames, and that's fine. Or else I'll take it over to Lens Crafters or to Payless or... Costco and get the glasses over there. It doesn't mean, you know, it's unbelievable.
Well, it goes back to that video too, where they're saying how some place like England, they're unified. They're saying, oh, we want fake hips. We're giving you the opportunity to supply us fake hips. Everyone who bids on this, whoever gives us the cheapest bid will
get the highest quality. With
the highest quality, will get to make all of England's fake hips. Mm-hmm. We don't have somebody like that in America going, we need to regulate these prices. We need to bid on them.
It's no, what you do, what you get is you need a fake, you need a new hip. Then your insurance company says, we will pay for this. Mm-hmm. And it is a rock bottom, crappy quality thing. And and you still have to pay a copay on it.
Yeah.
So you basically look at this and you go, that's going to hurt to have that in me. I don't want it. Is there any way I can get this? Sure, but you're paying out of pocket entirely for it.
Yeah.
And you can have anything you want. It's just how much can you pay? And this is, it's really the great gross victimization, and there's no way to do this. And this is the thing, I think, more than anything that has hurt Obama's presidency. And I was very high on Obama when he took office, and in many ways I still am high on Obama. I think basically he's a good man. He's a good thinker. He's good at many things. But there is something that he had the same problem that Clinton's had. And as soon as they get in their office, it's like healthcare is this dragon. Yeah. It's an immortal, It's an immortal, unkillable dragon. It's like the dragon Smog. And you cannot, and they both throw themselves at it, and they both damage their presidencies by doing this. You cannot slay the thing.
It's been years. It's gone out of control so much, and it's dragging our economy down universally.
But it's also the very same thing that has made the country rich is now killing it, because you healthcare, you know, it's become such a thing. It's become such an industry that so many jobs are dependent upon that, you know, whether it's legitimate stuff like research and hospitals and caring for people, but all the paper shuffling and the claims and everything like that, it really has become this Gordian knot that you cannot untie and you cannot decipher, because it's private industry profiting off of people's pain and their fear.
Yeah.
You know, you must have insurance. You must pay the most. We will deliver you the least. It's American business at its coldest. You know, we are withholding something from you that you desperately need. And if you pay the most, you will get the most. But if we, you know, the way we've rigged it is if we have to give you anything, it's the bottom line, you know, in many cases. And you'll still have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And it's scary. You know, I feel for families who are out there who have some sort of emergency or have ongoing care, and they're looking at, you know, whatever equity in their house is gone, whatever, you know, money they've put aside for retirement is gone. Everything is just gone. And to keep their loved ones alive. It really is, it's unbearable and it's heartless. But it's business. And that And this is the sort of thing that America thrives on, but unfortunately it's bringing us down also. And you can't go to socialism like they have in Canada or Britain, because all the lobbyists will fight tooth and nail to keep it that way, because you're robbing people of their money, you know, yeah. all the people in the industry. And you know, they'll tell you it's business, until they're on the operating table themselves. And then it's like, oh, I wish somebody had fixed this. Now, you know, I've been a loyal member of my company for 40 years, and suddenly I was downsized, or my company moved with another one, and I was made redundant, and now I don't have healthcare through my company, and geez, all my profits are going to, because I have a stomach ache, you know. Or it's like, well, it's sorry shit. I mean, I got nothing else to say for it. And I'm probably grossly simplifying whatever the problem is, but I just, you know, these are the terms I sort of understand it, right or wrong, and I don't think I'm all that far from it, even if it is a simplification. So, but anyway, the government's still shut down.
Yeah.
So what happens in prisons? Are prisons government run?
They're state run.
Oh, okay. So how does the government get more money? More taxes?
I guess so.
How do we stop people from posting pictures of their ugly children on Facebook?
I don't know.
Unfriend them, maybe?
Yeah, block them. That's what I do.
I wish you could just block their kids.
What, send their kids around with a big, like, Ghostbusters, you know, circle slash?
Non-smoking sign over their kid's face.
Yeah, that's all it does. It doesn't actually block them. It just adds that.
Man, there's people on my Facebook. Most of their children are really cute. And it's always nice to see happy kids, but man, some of these kids just make me feel like I have a hair in my throat.
We got two new babies showing up soon.
I know, little fat ones.
I hope they're little fat babies.
I do too. I hope they have a girl and a boy, and I hope they punch each other like you and Stevie did. Paul's brother and his wife are going to have twins.
Wow.
Yeah.
Baby Deenies.
Baby Deenies. Teeny weeny Deenies. Teeny weeny Deenies.
That's cute.
I used to refer to myself that way. When I was a teeny weeny Deenie, I used to do like this.
That sounds weird when a man says it, but when you're talking about a baby, it's okay.
Well, back when I was a teeny weeny Deenie, you were a what?
Yeah,
you were a what now? Wait a minute. Whimsy has just turned weird.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. It's too much.
Oh, I got my graphic novel all approved. I'm writing that.
Congratulations.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and I'm not saying any more about it right now, so we can let everybody wonder what it is and what it's about, but... Nice. I'm actively writing it, and I'm actually churning out quite a lot of stuff on it.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Can you say who it's for?
Nope.
Okay.
So you were saying you were pretty excited about that Tom Hanks movie?
Yeah, Mr. Banks.
Saving Mr. Banks.
Saving Mr. Banks, yeah. It's about the Mary Poppins story.
The Walt Disney thing.
Yeah, the Walt Disney.
Yeah, you said Floyd Norman had something to say about...
Yeah, Emily saw a speech of Floyd Norman that said that, according to him, he may not look exactly the part, but he acts exactly like him. He felt it was just speaking Walt Disney on the screen.
Wow. That's a heck of a compliment from Floyd.
Oh, definitely.
For those of you who don't know, Floyd Norman is a friend of Paul's. He's somebody that we see around parties. They don't exactly hang out and have lunch, but we certainly know him, and he's a wonderful man. And he's also the first African-American artist to have ever been hired by Disney. And he's also wicked talented and a hella nice guy. He's just really, really, really nice. But we're talking about this movie because, like Ezra just said, Floyd had nice things to say about Tom Hanks' performance. Mm-hmm. And you were saying a little while ago, Paul, that Walt held his hands a certain way, almost like he always had a cigarette.
Yeah, he did. I mean, it's one of the things I always noticed, even when he was on the Disney show. He always kind of held his hands a certain way, and he would talk a certain way. And from what I understand, from talking to animators who had worked, you know, with him firsthand, that he was a lifelong smoker. So he would be smoking in the screening room. He'd be smoking in story sessions or at the piano when he was listening to guys composing stuff. It was just, you know, his shtick. He had one going all the time, which is a fairly common thing that I've known throughout my career. I've been doing this about 30 years. In animation, in the early days, everybody smoked. I never did. I never smoked at all.
Yeah, well, a lot of people do. But because you're nervous, or, you know, if an artist doesn't have a pencil, then it feels close enough. But isn't smoking what killed Walt?
Well, that was a contributing factor, because Walt had just turned 65 and he died. And the month before that, he had lost a lung. And I remember as a kid,
Lost a lung.
He had lost a lung.
How do you do that? It's like losing your keys?
Well, no.
Oh, it's in the couch.
To cancer.
Somebody check the couch.
Apparently what happened was late in...
That's sad. My grandma had lung cancer surgery.
Yeah. Yeah.
She came through it. The first thing she wanted when she woke up was a cigarette.
Of course.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I heard in like November of 1966, Walt went in for a checkup and he was having some, you know, a cough and everything. And he had had an old injury in the back of his neck from playing polo. I guess he had got whacked there while playing polo and it caused him some discomfort in later years. And they went in and they did a test on him and they discovered that half his lung had cancer in it. So they operated quickly and they took his lung out. And you can live on half, sure, on one lung. And I remember hearing about this and I thought, is he going to be okay? Is he going to die? Can he live on one lung? And my mom said, yeah, he should be okay. He didn't get along. I mean, he can still run Disneyland and host the weekly program. That was like one of the only few shows we were allowed to watch was the Walt Disney Show. And that's what's interesting is Tom Hanks is probably only like 2 or 3 years older than me. So he remembers probably firsthand watching, you know, Walt on TV. We all did. And I remember like watching TV that week, like, well, he looks okay. You know, I didn't know how TV worked. I didn't know that he had probably, he probably filmed that segment sometime late in summer, you know, so he was recouping and then he had about 6 more weeks. And then I remember he died December 15th, 1966. And I remember my dad coming home and picking him up at the train station. He said, did you hear about Walt Disney? And it's like, no. And he showed me the picture. It's like, Walt Disney dies. So I said, oh, that's bad. Are they going to close Disneyland? I didn't know.
Oh.
I thought they were going to close down Disneyland and there were going to be no cartoons. And then they kept running the shows that he had taped, but then after that season, of course, they didn't run anymore. And they actually went back and ran old shows and took his intro off of those. But certainly he was known to every family in America around that time. And for the next year, he had finished up a bunch of movies that they released over the next year, which included The Happiest Millionaire and a sequel to Winnie the Pooh and Scrooge McDuck cartoon about money, and then The Jungle Book, and those all came out in the 10 months after he passed away. They all had, you know, Walt Disney Presents, because he had actually finished those before he had passed away. If Walt Disney had died 15 years later, that would have been 1981. He would have been in contact with George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, Jim Henson, all these people whose work he now, this company now owns, and it would have been interesting to see. That, I mean, I know that Spielberg, Lucas have never met him. I'm not so sure about Henson, although I do have the Henson biography. It doesn't mention it in there. And
I'd imagine they would have had to run into each other.
It you know, the Muppets weren't really, I think they were around the same time.
Uh-huh.
I know that the first major exposure the Muppets had was on the Jimmy Dean Show, which was around 64 or 65.
Yeah, Rolf the Dog.
Rolf the Dog. And Kermit
existed.
He did not
look like himself.
Nope.
And they were peddling
Kermit
coffee,
like
right?
Yeah,
Kermit looked like a lizard. But that's the very first merchandise. I remember.
Ken Plume sent those to you.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
you've
right.
got those shorts. We have those shorts on.
Oh, really?
We should.
Oh,
but we do have them somewhere.
God bless Ken Plume, because he, you know,
Ken Plume's a reason Rashi exists. I mean, we made Rashi, but Ken said put him on film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always heard the stories about Jim Henson on the Jimmy Dean Show, because Jimmy Dean is apparently a family member of some sort in our background. And I was just always proud of that.
Oh, he's a family of your?
Yeah, we're related to Jimmy Dean somewhere.
Wow, awesome. Yeah.
Excuse us. Excuse you.
I
smell you, as Carol Ann would say. She goes, oh, well, smell you.
I remember seeing in the Montgomery Ward catalog for 1964
Monkey
or 1965
Ward.
For their wish book, for their Christmas book, they had Muppets, the very first Muppets for sale, and it was Kermit. And I think he was wearing kind of like a sweater or something. And they had Rolf. And then they were going to come out with these two like little frackle things. Not fraggles, but these like little long neck things.
Oh, yeah.
And the box was really very 60s arty looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I circled that page, you know, until it bled through the page. It's like, I want this. I want Rolf so bad. And I'll take Kermit. You know, Kermit's cool too.
Of course.
But there was something about Rolf that I just thought was very appealing.
Yeah.
Just either of those, and I didn't get either one of them. And you know what those are worth now? If you could find them in the box.
$10,000 a piece.
If you, cheap. You know, this is the very first Muppet merchandise.
Yeah.
So Disney, I think, you know, and he watched the Ed Sullivan Show, I'm sure. I'm sure he was aware of them, but I just don't know if they ever intersected.
Yeah.
Because if Walt had lived just another 5 years, he would have seen the advent of Sesame Street, and I'm sure that he would have had things to say about that, you know, in a positive way. So, I don't know. But
and then eventually Disney owned Muppets. So
Disney owns the Muppets and it owns Star Wars and maybe Indiana Jones. So I don't know. Yeah. It's like
wow.
I know that Spielberg did. Wasn't Lincoln released through Disney? So
mm-hmm.
You know, speaking of Walt Disney, as we often do on the podcast here, I think now is a good time to pause and refresh ourselves with a beverage. And I recommend this Disney certified Donald Duck orange juice.
Oh yes. Donald Duck orange juice.
And that's what it sounds like, ladies and gentlemen.
Here it is in the can. Donald Duck
it's
orange juice.
It's so cute. Do you want me to take a picture of it and send it to you?
Yeah, I can't believe it's
do you want some?
Sure.
There's some in the fridge.
There's
go
some
help
in the
yourself.
Fridge. Go, thank you. You get a little can of Donald Duck. Yeah.
Let me see it. I'll take a picture.
Yeah, I'm used to the cartons. The red carton with his face on it and the orange behind it.
Yeah, but I don't see that much anymore. Do they
still? Not often, but I still see it some places. Like,
yeah.
I think Vallarta, you know, those like small little Hispanic grocery stores still carry it.
Yeah, I know. It's primarily a Florida brand these days. Mm-hmm. And we used to get it all the time. Oh, that's right, the red cartons.
The red carton.
We always used to have the red cartons out. And the reason we
got it.
We used to have two kinds of orange juice in our house. One was the cylindrical brick, which I hated, which was the concentrated orange juice. It came in like the cylindrical frozen brick, and you put that in water and you stirred that, and it tasted awful. My grandmother...
Are you kidding me? You're wrong. Did you ever lick one of those bricks straight up?
Oh, those bricks by themselves are like...
Oh, well, yeah. Awful. I mean, that's
yeah.
right.
Like
I mean,
the Minute Maid out of the can. Oh,
yeah.
God. It's so good.
Oh, we had like this Bel Air orange juice.
I don't know
like
about Bel Air, but Minute Maid is real acidic, and you can like take a spoon and let it melt just a little bit and scrape that off, and the grape, the Welch's grape juice...
Oh, well, that's... Oh, okay.
Oh, man, is that good.
The Hawaiian
has... Hi, buddy.
There's like a brand, Hawaiian Sun or something, and they have like guava, and that's delicious. You could actually eat that, sorbet or something. But we used to have like the awful bricks, which I hated. My grandmother, my mother's mother, had a house in Santa Barbara, and she had an orange grove. When I was a kid, she used to squeeze fresh orange juice, and it was like... There's nothing greater in the world. I'll have orange juice every day when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. And I begged my mother for orange juice. And then she got the brick because we didn't have an orange grove up in Northern California. And it was awful. And then my dad, who was working in advertising, got Donald Duck orange juice as a client. Nice. And so we switched over. We became a duck family. We just had nothing but duck in the fridge. And I felt it was pretty good, although I do have to admit the orange juice we have now from a local grower is even better.
Yeah.
But when I found out they still made Donald Duck orange juice, I got a bunch of these little cans.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah, I have to. It's Donald Duck. You know, got to support the poultry driven orange business.
Exactly. Those ducks make a lot of juice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Peter Pan peanut butter was never a Disney affiliate.
I think it was, or I think there was a tie-in with it at some point.
Okay.
The last time I looked at it, it had a silhouette of Peter Pan on it, but it was kind of indistinct. So, and I know there have been various promotions with it over the years and everything. Florida orange juice tastes like Florida orange juice. It's a very distinct taste to it.
Yeah, it does.
It's not like the California stuff.
Yeah. May I try it?
Yeah, sure. That's out of somebody's backyard, you know, like when you pick oranges out of a backyard and stuff.
Mmm.
You like it?
Yeah.
It has that concentrate taste.
It does have that Minute Maid brick taste.
It does.
Get one.
Who's got the sweetest disposition?
One guess who's got the sweetest orange juice? Well, that would be me, Donald Duck. I can't do Donald's voice, so I have to do...
Nobody can.
I have to do the Donald Duck voice when he imagines he has a good voice. It's like
when he takes his voice pills.
Why, that would be me, Donald Duck.
Remember? What's the name of that?
Donald's dream voice.
Yeah, where he takes the pills.
At last, I can talk. I can talk. I can talk. At last, I can ask Daisy to... And he takes another one. Marry me.
Yeah.
Really
hello,
good.
Sir. Hello, madam. Would you like to buy a very lovely brush? You are so well-spoken, I can't help but buy all of them. Thank you, madam. He always talks like Ronald Coleman or something like that. And so... if I'm ever asked to do an imitation of Donald Duck, I try and do that one because I sure as hell can't do the other one. But good thing for the Donald Duck. I'm glad it's still out there. I miss the orange, the red containers, but somewhere Scrooge McDuck is making a nickel each off of these cans. I just know.
Yeah, where's the Scrooge McDuck lemonade?
Scrooge McDuck lemonade?
Yeah.
It'd be gold coins and stuff, and
Yeah.
So, speaking of support, two things. Number one, this little boy sitting on my lap here, who you don't hear snoring yet, but you will.
That would be Deuce. Mm-hmm.
Has had treatment number one of three for his brain tumor, and he's doing pretty good today. He's a little tired.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, but he goes in tomorrow for number two, and then on Friday for number three, and then it's just a wait and see. Okay. But the good news is they're thinking that since he's relatively asymptomatic, you know, a lot of dogs with brain tumors do really silly things. Their personalities change. Yeah. They don't. They sometimes will see double or think. They'll go to walk into a doorway and walk into the wall because their brain puts the doorway to the right or to the left of where it's supposed to be, stuff like that. Yeah. And he's asymptomatic as far as that goes. He only has occasional seizures, which we can control with meds. Mm-hmm. They think, they're hopeful, and that's why we're proceeding with the radiation, that because we're zapping it before it's grown, and the brain tumor was the exact same size 2 months apart on an MRI, that he may die of a good old age. Well, instead, like they gave him a year. Yeah, they gave him a year, but they're thinking that he may die of something else entirely. So that's we don't really like to think about him dying at all, but hopefully it won't be of a brain tumor in the next 3 months to a year.
So they gave him a year with no treatment.
No, a year with treatment.
A year with treatment.
Yeah.
But a promising year of like a year plus who knows however long.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Like a year is the median for dogs who are already having symptoms.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then that year, what you do is you stop the brain tumor from growing and then they have a decent little time. But that's not what's happening with him because he doesn't have any symptoms right now. So they're saying, you know, they were saying 4 or 5 years maybe, you know, but, you know, however long his little lifespan would be. But that's hopeful. And then the other thing.
It's got to give up the meth first.
Give up the meth?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You give up the meth first, he says.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah.
A little so. White.
I didn't see it. So,
don't say anything. Don't spoil it, people. Right.
Okay. What did you say?
Little Walter White's Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah, don't. Yeah, we haven't seen it yet, you naughty boy. Don't say a word.
And that's in a segue.
It's a segue out of what I was going to say next.
Okay, well, but what were you going to
say? If you want to talk about
No. What were you going to say next?
Well, the other thing that I wanted to say is that it is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Oh.
So for everybody listening, we're going to post the link to the straitjacket. Right. And if you guys could retweet the straitjacket short that we made, this is the month that I made it for. So if we could start a grassroots effort, try to get your friends to share it. Because, you know, for those of you who don't know, about a year and a half ago, I self-produced a short, which is a straitjacket escape, which is a metaphor using the jacket for an abusive relationship. So the escape is it's a metaphor for the difficulty that women endure. And it's just women because I'm a female. It's men actually endure a hell of a lot of domestic violence, too. It's very sad. But the more eyeballs that it gets on it, the more of a chance we have of making a difference this month. And so let's please start a grassroots effort trying to get people to retweet it, trying to get people to post a link to the YouTube video, just so that maybe one person this month will be inspired to safely leave their abusive relationship and finally escape.
We'll definitely have a copy on our Facebook and our Twitter account.
Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, and everybody's personal accounts too. If you guys could, I would be very grateful because if everybody who listens to this just posts it once and one person sees it as a result, that could be a lot of people who have seen this. And like I said, if it makes a difference for one person, the whole thing was worth it. So there's, but I want to specifically thank Trisha Lasky because she took it on herself to be my PR agent today and sent tweets. And please, you guys can do this too, but sent tweets to the Obama administration, who is taking a strong stand against domestic violence this month, to Oprah and to The Ellen Show.
Wow.
And also to Variety. So if you guys are so inclined, please send it to anywhere you think can help us get some distribution. Because it's not about me. This is about the women that we made this for.
Yep.
So let's inspire some people to move on. So I want to thank Trish publicly thank you very, very, very much and ask all of you to please do the same. And especially if you know somebody that you think this might help.
Yeah, it's very important.
Please pass it along and let's get as many eyeballs on this as possible. So thank you for that. You wanted to talk about Breaking Bad? Speaking of abusive relationships.
Yeah, well, not so much. I mean, I've been enjoying the show up until last week. But
you're
we
also
missed...
enjoying that orange juice.
Yes, I am.
How do you like it, Ezra?
It's good.
Yeah,
it's
it is good, isn't it?
It's a fine
It's a very small can, but it's super satisfying, I think. Like,
really
the two
is.
Drinks that I took of Paul's, I was like, that's really good.
Well, like, you get those ones at, like, a fast food restaurant or something. They're just small cartons. They never feel like they're satisfying. This is about the same size, yet this is very satisfying.
I think because it's loaded with sugar. Does it have high fructose corn syrup, or is it actual
it's
sugar?
It's just juice. And that's what I always liked about it.
So it's just sugar.
It's 100%
it's water concentrated. Orange juice. Citrus World Inc., Lake Wales, Florida, was always very proud of that. They always said...
How did they spell Wales? W-A-L-E-S, like the country, or W-H-A-L-E-S? Please tell me it's with an H.
No, it's W-A-L-E-S.
Dang.
My dad,
I am
one
obsessed
of the,
with little whales this month. I'm
one
just
of
like,
the commercials he did
with
was he took like a cart... Was he took like a... they also had the concentrate, you know, cylinder. And it was... They animated
the,
it. Stop
Donald
motion.
Duck has a cylinder?
Well, they do. They used to. I don't know if they
Get
still
me a
do.
Spoon.
And it said Donald Duck beats all other orange juices walking away, and it did like a little waddle like that.
That's cute.
So yeah, that was what. And so
I don't understand what that means, but it's cute.
Well, it was waddling like a duck, like Donald Duck beats all other orange juices walking away. It's a lot of juice.
Good. That's what matters.
Yep.
Your dad also, I don't know if we've ever said this on here, probably, but it bears mentioning, was the guy who wrote Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
I think we did, but I forgot about that.
So now you remember.
Amazing.
His dad was a hell of a man, hell of an ad man, not a mad man. Hell of an ad man.
It was right around that time, madman, ad man time.
Mm-hmm.
But this is good. This is like picnic size. You can take this and take like three of these, put it in the cooler.
You are obsessed with picnics.
Well, it's better than picnic.
I can't think of a thing.
You sit outside, and eat food, and you get, take a nap, and you brush the ants off of you. That part's no good.
Yeah, that's not good at all.
Actually, you know, we just get in the car, and we eat in the car because we figure why get out of the car.
Well, tonight we ate in the car in shame on the way home from the Halloween store. Hey, tell them what you're going to be for Halloween.
I'm going to be a sarcophagus macabre for Halloween.
Oh, nice.
So, and I spent all afternoon gathering pieces of this little pink and orange and purple monster costume, and I was so pleased with it. And then he comes up with this great idea to be sarcophagus macabre, and then I walked by a Sparky from Frankenweenie hat, and I went, God dang it. I said, because that would make sense, you know, like you've got this little resurrected zombie dog with the mortuary vulture instead of a hot purple pink and yellow or hot pink purple and orange monster. But we'll see.
I thought about being Alice.
Yeah, well, this is what happens with us every Halloween.
What?
We buy our costumes, and then we change our minds.
Yeah.
And then we buy those costumes, and then we change our minds again, and then we buy those costumes.
Yeah.
And then we have to have a yard sale again.
But look at the Mary Blair version of Alice. Like,
yes, I see her there.
She
looks like you without the beard.
She's little chubby fat Alice. Like, for a while, Mary Blair was painting Alice with these big ham hock arms and legs and everything.
She's really cute.
And I thought, if I could get that outfit and the wig, I could be like Mary Blair's little chubby Alice. I'd have to shave, though. And then it would just like horrify the neighbors. It's like everybody coming up to the door. I'd answer the door, hi there. And it's like, okay, we're leaving this. I don't care how good the candy is. I don't care if it's a whole bar or not. I don't care if you get two pieces. You're not coming to this house anymore. I think our neighbors are a little more open-minded than that. Still would look weird, especially if I left the beard on. But sarcophagus macabre was the other good choice. And so that was...
And you got the creepiest mask I've ever seen.
Yeah, nice. And there was one other thing I thought about briefly. There was a big bad wolf costume that looked kind of good. And there was one...
It didn't look as good as your vulture.
No, the vulture looks great. For those of you who don't know, sarcophagus macabre is a rather obscure character in the Pogo comic strip.
Mm-hmm.
He is a mortician vulture. So he looks very grim and menacing looking, and he wears an old stovepipe hat, you know, like a mortician would wear, and he talks in fancy script that looks like a funeral announcement. So I thought I'd stand at the door looking all grim and funereal and hand out candy to the kids and
Very nice.
Work up a kind of a John Carradine's stentorian voice. It needs some work. I'll have to study some old Hammer films and some old Corman movies to get down his cadence.
There you go.
House of Dracula and such. But I'm working on it.
I think you're going to do great.
I think so. But anyway, I found all the pieces there. And so it doesn't look quite as whimsical as Walt Kelly. It looks more like a realistic vulture. It's terrifying.
It's got big plastic bulby eyes that he can look through and an articulated beak. Mm-hmm. So when he speaks, the mouth moves.
Nice.
No. Yeah. It's not nice. Yeah. And so, of course, because I support all things creepy, I got him some silver feathers. You know, like it comes with silver feathers around the neck to sort of tie it into the rest of his robe, which is great. And so we're going to put the silver feathers like up inside of his robe. And then he's got these creepy gloves and feet. And
Nice.
Oh, it's nasty.
I'm excited.
That's terrifying.
He had another really cool wig at the, mask at the store. It was a Rocky Mountain goat.
I saw that, but it looked like Baphomet.
Well, yeah, it looked like kind of like white Baphomet. But and it's like, how are Rocky Mountain goats scary? I mean, you know, they're not.
Goats
they don't have to be scary.
They're just.
It doesn't have to be scary. Someone's like, I'm going to be a goat for Halloween. That's true. I'll tell you what's scary over there is that pig mask they have.
Which one?
Yes to all.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. All of them. Yeah. Certain animals are just scary.
Pig masks are terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of sad because of this little one in his head, because of Deuce and his brain tumor. We're not having a Halloween party.
Yeah.
We're going to be passing out candy.
Oh, so nice.
You can come by and get candy at the door.
Sure.
But we'd love to see your face.
Oh, well,
but we'll just be out front.
Yeah.
So we're kind of, it's going to be the first time since we got engaged 9 years ago.
Yeah.
That, or 8 years, because we didn't the first year when we got married, right? Did we have a Halloween party when we were engaged, Paul? Was I living here yet?
No.
No, because I moved in April and we got married in October. So this would have been our seventh party.
Yes.
Eighth anniversary, seventh party. That's right.
Yeah.
Lucky seven. So it ends this time.
Yeah.
Hopefully next year we'll be back on. But this year, I think it's just going to be too much for little Hootie Hoo here.
Yeah.
That's probably right.
Yeah.
You know, also with the expense.
Mm. Yeah.
$12,500 to radiate this dog. Mm. Yep. He's worth every penny. Yeah. He's alive.
Yeah.
You don't want it on there?
I don't want it there.
Okay.
Let me restate it.
Okay.
Very, very expensive to radiate this dog.
Yeah,
he's worth it.
Yes. Rather spend the money on his health than a party.
I would rather spend the money on his health and have him alive than on a party, yeah.
Yeah, just no parties this year because it's you know,
I'm working up the courage to finally post it on Facebook because I'm not convinced that's what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
What?
It's just going to be so different to not have one.
Well, I figure you got to skip some years so that you feel you all the
well, and so. Also I found a booger on a picture in the house, and I know it wasn't yours.
And somebody then I found chewing gum underneath our mantelpiece. It's like, really?
Maybe the party's a little too big. And so, so we were saying, oh, we downsize and do this and do that. And we talked about all this. And this year, we're just going to take it off because of the stress and the pup and everything else.
And then, I guess I'm not sad about it. Food, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're begging people to take it home.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have all that lighting and stuff. Last year, we had lighting and a fog machine and the backyard was just crazy.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And then the year before that, we had done the purple and orange under the tent. Well, actually, Tyler did it when he was working here.
Mm-hmm. I think my brother will be in town.
Well, then your brother can come pass out candy.
He wants to.
Good.
Great.
So stop by and trick or treat.
We sure will.
Maybe we'll dress him up like Pogo Possum.
Maybe he can pick his own costume. And if he's something weird, maybe he'll be like one of the Three Stooges. Oh, they found a new Stooges movie.
What? Yeah, long lost Stooge movie.
What?
In color.
Short? A short.
Yep.
Yeah.
With Curly Joe or
with Curly.
Curly.
With original Curly in color.
In Technicolor.
What happened was I don't know.
In a shed in Australia.
For a while I thought.
I swear to God. What's it called? Daddy's Home or something?
It was like Daddy's Kids or something. Or
Daddy's Boys.
Daddy's Boys or something like that.
Wow.
It's the Stooges and Ted Healy. So it's. I think it's actually a Ted Healy short with the Three Stooges. It was before they got their own series.
Yeah.
Without Healy. And they're dressed like big, you know, like little Lord Fauntleroy outfits. And he's smacking them around. And they're really young. It's 1933.
Wow.
And they found this film in a shed in Australia. All the U.S. prints had rotted away.
Got lost in a fire.
Oh, that's right.
It's
and the guy said, I don't even like the Stooges. I swear. He said, I just like old film. And it was so funny to read his quote because he said, when Elvis and the rock and roll came in the 50s, that was it for me.
Yeah.
Wow. And so he didn't even like the Stooges. He just archived this stuff because he was just collecting it. Mm-hmm. And he's just kind of dumping it off. And somebody looked at his collection and said, wait a minute. If that's what I think it is, let me make a call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they called Paramount, and Paramount said, yes, please. Yeah. And so they showed it in New York last weekend.
Wow.
Every once in a while, they stumble across something. Like, they think, I think Disney found, like, an old Oswald cartoon.
That was a big press release about 2 or 3 years ago, right?
Yeah. And you've heard of all the rumors going around about the Doctor Who series, right?
No, like, what are you talking about?
Well, originally, Doctor Who lost tons of episodes because they didn't care. BBC was like, we're never going to use these guys.
Like the old televisions here.
So apparently there's a rumor going around that a sister station like Brazil has copies of a bunch of these missing episodes. So they might actually be able to complete numbers of episodes that were gone missing from the original first season.
Wow. That's fantastic. Yeah.
In fact, they found also included was, I think, Prescott Boys or some war TV series, kind of like Hogan's Heroes for Britain, and they just released a bunch of those. Mm. And the rumors are still going around that this Doctor Who set was.
How do you feel about
too.
The new Doctor Who?
I love it.
Oh, yeah, when is he? Christmas he starts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's when they usually do. And the 50th anniversary imagine? Is coming up too.
He said he had to hold that secret for months. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the new Doctor. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Oh wow!
how long are they? 2 years?
Each doctor, it really depends. The first doctor was only a year. Christopher Eccleston decided, back out because he was getting typecast. Second doctor was, I think, 2 to 3, and this last doctor was 2 or 3. So
Matt He seems nice. Tom Baker was a doctor
for a while. He was like 3 or 4, wasn't he?
Which one?
Tom Baker.
I'm talking about the recent episodes. Yeah, the original doctors were around forever.
See, I remember Tom Baker growing up.
Who was before Matt? Yeah. David Tennant?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
He's so far.
See,
my
I'm not
favorite.
A total plebe.
No, I know. I didn't say you were.
I know. I'm Philistine.
Yeah, I'm just starting to catch up on the original series. I'm only on William Hartnell still.
See, it was Tom Baker for me all the way. That was like mid to late 70s.
Which number was he? 5?
I think he was about 4 or 5.
Kala's favorite is 5.
Is
someone
that
said
the celery stock? Peter
I
Davidson
have no clue.
David Peterson.
I don't know which one is 5. You guys write in and tell me which one's 5, because I don't know. Somebody asked her, who's your favorite doctor? She goes, 5. And someone said, good woman, and gave her a high five. And I was like, what's that mean? I knew there are 13 right now?
Well, 12 technically,
so
I think.
This guy is 13.
Yeah, and the rumor, from what I understand of Doctor Who lore, is there's only 13 doctors.
Mm. Oh.
So, yeah, we'll
see. So this may be the end of the series.
Or Steve Moffat's going to think of something else interesting, because he also has that sneaky John Hurt thing mentioning that John Hurt might have been a doctor. The last episode for the 50th anniversary shows John Hurt as a doctor.
Oh.
Might have been between the movie and Christopher Eccleston, we don't know.
Maybe the doctor lost count.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It's a...
Maybe the 13th doctor thinks the universe begins and ends with him.
That could be.
Like every teenage girl. Mm.
But skipping back to Breaking Bad, which I don't plan on discussing anymore, the reason we missed the series finale was we were coming back from Detroit.
Oh, yeah! Oh, Daddy's birthday!
You were out there for a few days longer than I was.
I was.
And it was your dad's birthday.
It was. And, it was kind of fun. My dad turned 60. Uh-huh. And Deuce doesn't care. He's snoozing. Yeah. But my dad turned 60 on September 26th. That's his birthday. And I realized about a month and a half ago, I went, oh my God, it's his 60th. We got to do something. And the family was like, why? And I was like, because it's his 60th birthday. So my mom said, okay, I'm on board. And my sister is always on board. She's just so good natured. And she was like, yeah, let's do something. So I said, let's throw him a surprise party. Mm-hmm. And I thought, will anybody come? I think that's the biggest fear. If you're going to throw a surprise party for somebody, it's like, will anyone show up for this? I hope they do. Because otherwise it's like me in a room going,
we're busy that night. I haven't told you what night it is.
Never know, because I don't know.
A surprise party, you can't really follow up on a lot of people. You're busy trying to make it a surprise.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought, bare minimum, let me invite some people and make sure they can make it. So I called my Aunt Donna, who's his sister. And my aunt is one of the most amazing people on the planet. She's just crazy awesome. And she said, I'm there. She said, I can't get there. And I said, all right, well, what night do you want to do it? Do you want to do it on his birthday, which is a Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday? She goes, let's do the Saturday for ease of travel. I can work and come in late Friday, whatever. So we booked a little pizza place in Warren, which is near my parents' house. You know, like around. Yeah, it's kind of close, I guess. And we started the planning. And my mom took care of all the inviting. And probably, what, about 30 people?
Yeah, about 30 people.
We tried to
keep
it pretty small.
Between 25 and 30 people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I rented a room for 50, knowing full well we wouldn't hit that number because we just weren't inviting that many. And every single person, with the exception of one, that was invited showed up. Everybody. And we didn't get everybody. We actually missed my mom's friend, Kathy, and I was pretty bummed about that because she's a really neat lady and has known my dad since high school. But we didn't hit everybody, but everybody we did hit came. And super nice. And so my aunt flew in the day before and took my sister's kids, everybody. She goes, get in the van. I have a surprise. And we went to Build-A-Bear, and she made everybody a Build-A-Bear, you know, just to sort of surprise them. And my dad didn't know she was there. And my dad was throwing darts. Well, first of all, on his actual birthday, I flew in. And he didn't know I was coming. My mom didn't say anything. My mom knew, but my dad didn't. So she said she came home, and she was like, you know, it is your birthday. And he was like, yeah, everybody forgot me. And she goes, oh, Stan, I'm sorry. The girls didn't call you? And he goes, no, nobody called me at all except my sister. She's the only one. And he was sort of mopey. And my mom goes, well, you know what? Let me cheer you up. Let's take you out to dinner. Knowing full well my sister and I were going to be at the restaurant. Okay, so she actually told us 8:15, and they got there at 8. I don't know why you would do that when you're surprising someone, but whatever. It's fine. It worked out. So they sat down. They ordered, like, he loves Chinese food. And so they ordered wonton soup and all this stuff. And he's sitting there, and he looked so sad. Like, we walked in, and he was just kind of sad and depressed and hunched up. Well, it was the back of his head. But he was hunched over his wonton soup, and they just looked so... They were the only ones in the whole restaurant. And it just sucked. And then I remembered what we were there for, and I went, oh, it's going to get better. Okay. And we had balloons in the car. So I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, do you guys mind moving tables? I think your party just got bigger. And my dad looked up, and he went, and my sister goes, hi, Daddy. And he said, you guys are here too. Oh, you know, like, it all of a sudden, nobody forgot. So that was enough. And he sat down, and he was like, where's Paul? And I said, well, Paul's home with the dogs, which is true. That's exactly where he was. He didn't know Paul was flying in Saturday for the party, but, you know, so he was a little more cheerful. And then, so we had a really nice dinner. And there's, of course, a national shortage on helium. So Party City is not blowing up balloons.
I did not know about this national shortage of helium.
It's a freaking emergency. So,
so no raising your voice with those helium balloons for
now. All the kids are doing
the
chipmunk.
Don't waste the gas.
They're all getting high doing chipmunk voices.
Party City has no helium. I said, this reminds me of the time I went to Boston Market. They were out of freaking chicken. Happened to me twice it's happened. Like, never going back to Boston Market again. El Pollo Loco. Sorry, we're just loco right now.
So
no,
what's
going to
happen during the
so.
Thanksgiving parade? They're going to drag Pikachu and Bart Simpson down the street, you know?
I don't know. But I don't know what they're going to do. And I don't know how long it's... No, they said they would be blowing up balloons. By the time this airs, they'll probably have helium. But there was a national shortage on helium through the second half of September because I had to go to two Party Cities to get your brother's balloons on the 24th.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
remember?
My brother's...
I told you that. So when she told me, people were screaming at Party City, what do you mean I can't get balloons for my son's birthday? But I had already had the experience on the 24th trying to get balloons for Stevie, who's Paul's brother, who we had a great time with on his birthday. And so I already knew the story. And so I didn't argue. I just said, okay, what can be done? And she said, there's individual helium tanks that you can buy that are pre-filled in the back. Nice. But it's like $40 to fill up 20 little balloons. Like, this is crazy. But I did it anyway. So we got him some balloons. Thursday night, we had surprise dinner with my dad. Friday, my aunt flew in, took everybody to Build-A-Bear. He didn't know my aunt was coming.
Friday afternoon, I'm working. He calls me. He goes, Paul, it's Stan. And it's my birthday. And Misty flew in. It was great. I wish you could have been there, too. Boy, I sure would have liked to have seen you. And I go, oh, well, maybe next time, Stan. You never know when I will turn up, you know. And I'm kind of going, snicker, snicker, snicker. And I get off the phone with him, and I run over here to this really good cigar store in Burbank, and I buy him a nice big box of cigars. Because I've never, he's a smoker. I don't really know what cigars he prefers.
I don't think he's ever smoked a cigar.
He has, and then I bought him, and I went in. I really didn't know what I was looking for, because I don't smoke at all. And
what do you end up getting him?
I got him a box of...
Oh, you smoke cigars?
I've had cigars in the past. I've had friends interested in...
I got him a box of...
Smell You is what this one's going to be called. The Smell You podcast.
It began with an F. It was and they're
Dominican. I have a lot of words that begin with F.
It was I can't remember the name of the cigar, but it was.
I think it was on the receipt. I can look it up because I just filed it.
It was very mild. You know, I should have. I was gonna call Eddie Gordetsky, and I know he's so busy with Mom that I didn't. And he is like the cigar.
Mom is Eddie's show.
Aficionado. It's on CBS. Oh, not busy with his mom, but it's like he is a cigar aficionado. And, yeah, he is. And I.
Tyler Main is too.
Yes, he is. And I just didn't know who to ask, so I went and asked the guy at the store. And
he'll tell you.
And he picks me up with a box of really nice ones. And then I later asked really your expensive. Dad how he liked to be. So they were very mild. I think he's used to a harsher smoke.
Yeah.
But and I got a nice. A butane lighter that went with it and everything. So
he didn't know. So Paul went and got those. Meanwhile, my aunt has taken everybody out. My dad is throwing darts on Friday night, which is why we didn't have the party on Friday, right?
Okay.
So he has no idea my aunt, his sister's coming in. And boy, my Michigan really kicks in. My aunt. I just heard it. I just heard it happen. My aunt from Michigan. Anyway, so he has no idea she's coming in. So we spend all day with my sister and her family, and now I'm super self-conscious, so I'm throwing my voice into the back of my throat and opening everything up. So now I sound like totally Californian.
It's very nice.
So there's got to be something somewhere in the middle. I don't know. Maybe I'll find it when I stop thinking, but I'll probably just go back to Michigan, so we're going to do that.
You can do the Northern Californian accent, which is like this.
Maybe I'll just really do a Minnesota.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly. We'll just do the Minnesota. Okay. No, that's irritating, California. Too. So anyway... So my aunt comes in and we're going to watch my dad throw darts. He has no idea. So we drop my sister and her family off and the kids have their bears. My sister and her husband each got a bear. Everybody got a bear. I didn't want a bear, but everybody got a bear. They're all happy.
Bears all over.
Yeah, bears all around. Mm-hmm. Round of bears. Bearable. And then we go, yes, bear hugs. So we go and my dad doesn't know. So he's throwing darts and someone said, how was your birthday? And he goes, oh, it was okay. He goes, hey, my daughter's here. And my aunt goes, that's not all. And he turns around and he goes, yeah. Ooh! Like he didn't even know what to say. And so she jumps up and she gives him a big hug and we got pictures of that. And so then he's like, man. And she goes, hey, Stan. She says, are you okay? She goes, look, I know Misty's got you. You know, she kind of came in to spend time with you this weekend. But what do you say? I take my baby brother out for some pizza tomorrow night. Knowing full well that she's bringing him to the surprise party at this pizza place, right?
Yeah.
So this is how she does it. She goes, you know, I'm not going to be around all weekend. I got to leave early Sunday morning, and I know Misty kind of had a pin in you, but can I take you out Saturday? And he goes, yeah, totally. So she goes, okay. She goes, it'll just be you and me. And you and me and 30 of your closest friends.
Yeah.
So, and then the texting begins. So Saturday morning, we get up, we go and get a cake. And of course, because I had to pick up the cake, I had them write, sorry about the herpes stand on it, because that's what I do every time I get the cake. Did you know this?
No, I didn't. What?
Don't ever ask me to get a cake.
That's awesome.
It started when I was at Second City. Someone gave me the Cake Rex book. And I was flipping through this Cake Rex book, and one of the cakes says, sorry about the herpes. And I love Cake Rex. That's terrible.
It's so awesome.
What a terrible thing to write. It's hysterical. You know, like inappropriate response. Inappropriate response. And so Alex Backus, it was his birthday. So I went and they said, Misty, will you pick up the cake? So I go over here to the grocery store and I said, can you write sorry about the herpes on it?
And they refused.
They said, yeah, no. They did it.
They did?
It was bizarro at Porto's that they refused.
Oh, okay. Really? Okay.
Porto's said, I cannot put herpes on a cake. I will not.
I cannot put herpes.
Well, we're not actually
on
for
cake.
The actual disease.
No. But she wouldn't write it on the thing. And she goes, she said, I can give you the chocolate piece that we write on and you can write it yourself. And I'm thinking, well, with a Sharpie? Like, what do I write? I don't have this shit at home. So anyway, I just told her to write like something like birthday, yay, bizarro, yeah, yum, eat cake or something like totally like caveman crap speak. But anyway, every time with the exception of Bizarro's birthday that I have had to go get a cake, instead of happy birthday, I have them write sorry about the herpes. Like
mine just said happy birthday on it.
Well...
She didn't get the cake, obviously.
No, we got yours from Sweet Lady Jane, didn't we?
Yeah.
That's why.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't have them do that.
Well, they're too
fruity. Those cakes are like $100.
Those are fruity. Yeah, they didn't write anything about herpes on my brother's.
No, they didn't write it on your brother's either, but you got that cake. You got your own cake for your birthday, that's why.
Yeah, I guess so.
See, you didn't write. I would have had him write. Sorry about that.
I didn't give myself a social disease on my cake.
See, there's. I mean, there's so many things you can write, but anyway, every time. So that's what my dad's cake said. I have a picture of it. Mm. Sorry about the herpes, Stan. Because I felt sorry about the herpes. Dad just crossed even my line.
Yeah. I see that. That's too much information.
Better. Incest and STD.
Yeah.
It's too much. Yeah. So I just, you know. So anyway. So we get the cake and we ran around. What else did we do? We got decorations. I did get the helium tank. We got there. My dad's friend Tony helped us set everything up. Super nice guy.
I had flown into town that morning.
And then I actually called Paul and I said, can you please just get a car? Because the 45 minutes back and forth to try to get you from the airport, I'm going to be going crazy. And I was. I was picking up my family at the time his plane was landing. So
I had a driver take me to the hotel.
So he was so nice and he was so considerate and contributing and just super happy to be there. Nice. And Paul's sister came to the party. Like, everybody
Her family
up.
Came to the party. Yeah, it was great.
And I gave all the kids and people who my dad has known for a very long time or who he has given grief to over the years a can of silly string.
Nice.
And I said, hose him.
Yeah.
And so he walked in and I've got video of it. I posted it on my Facebook. Nice. And, you know, and it's and we I was like, what are we gonna yell? And they said, let's yell happy birthday. And I said, okay. And so he walks in and everybody went, like, I don't know what happened. And then all of a sudden there was silly string. And we hadn't okayed the silly string with the restaurant. And he was in like a foot of it. Like there was so much. And it just I had
and there were a lot
idea.
Of little kids who were just spraying it everywhere.
And they got right in his face. And he's so good-natured. He just looked like the Swamp Thing.
He did. He did.
He really, really did.
It was like that scene in The Godfather where James Caan gets out of the out of the car at the toll booth, and he's just blown to bits. Yes. Only this one he was silly stringed to bits.
Like so Spider-Man there's the restaurant pretty upset over. About all this.
They were good-natured.
They cleaned it up. Okay. They, you know, like, fortunately, silly string, once it dries, as long as you don't grind it into the carpet, it just picks up really easy. Yeah. But what was interesting was the string is easy, but then you get these little broken pieces, like these everywhere. It's like confetti all over the floor. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had got confetti, but that probably would have been a bigger mess.
Hey, where'd you get the Tower Prep sweatshirt?
One time when I was at Cartoon Network, I had met somebody in promotions and they gave me it.
Really?
Excuse us.
Oh, I didn't know that. Really
Smell nice. You. Yeah. That's what this one's called. It's called Smell You, Ezra.
Smell You, Ezra.
Smell You, Ezra. All right. I didn't know that. I was looking at that and I go, hey, where'd you get that? All right.
Yeah, it just has the tar prep on the side. And, yeah, so
they probably just they probably threw them all out or something.
I'm sure they didn't. I'm sure they gave them
all. Well, the promo person was really thrilled with the show, so she was like, here you go. But yeah.
How long ago was that?
Oh, it was when it was still airing.
Oh.
Yeah.
That the 3 weeks it was.
It was one of those 3 weeks I went in for a moment, and it just so happened that they were like, oh, it's on the air right now. Here you go.
Oh, good old Tower Prep.
Sour grapes.
It's the sourest. Anyway, but it was great. It was a great party.
Really
your dad had a great time. You put like a funny old man vest on him.
Yeah, Calla bought him a bunch of like old people stuff. Like,
and he had a birthday crown that he wore around all the time.
And she bought him a little pin that said "Birthday Girl."
That was the best.
Yeah, she was really excited about
and your
that.
Dad.
And she was like kidding when she handed it to me. She goes, here, let's get him this. And I said, absolutely.
Yes.
And threw it in the cart. And she was like, maybe should we switch for birthday boy? I said, no, this is the one you picked. This is the one he wears.
I thought...
A bunch of little lollipops that say 60 sucks.
I thought your dad would be...
Whatever.
I guess he was saying a lot. He was talking a lot about, you know, while he was there. But it was more like, well, yeah, sure surprised me. You know, it was more like... Well, this is great.
He's very existential.
He loved it. You know, but he wasn't like he was like drop on the floor laugh out loud.
Do you know what he said to me though? My dad is very. I've always described. I think there are two different kinds of paternal figures.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I'm sure there are several others, but you know, like for me, I have bumped into people in my life who usually fall into one or the other of a category. And when I have a male paternal figure in my life, I usually describe them as one or the other. The first one is a daddy. Mm-hmm. And daddy is the guy whose hand you hold in the store, who you snuggle up with when you watch a movie, who you lay next to, and that's, you know, like in a thunderstorm, you know, like that kind of stuff. You know, like protector, strong protector, but a buddy. Mm-hmm. That's a daddy. Then there's a father. And a father is wise, a father is stern, a father has very high, strong expectations of you. You better fall an F in line. You better behave. That's a father, dad. The disciplinarian. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad was one, but not the other. Ideally, a dad is you right know, in the middle of yeah. those two, and they flip back and forth from stern disciplinarian to cuddle fuzzy buddy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My dad was a father, mm-hmm. and he was a father when I needed a father. And if I could choose between the two, I would choose a father because you need that wisdom imparted and stuff. Yeah. You know, whereas a daddy who's your buddy sometimes flakes, sometimes fails, you know, and I'm not saying that one is better, but for me, I would always choose a father, and I'm glad I got the father I had. Mm. So he walked up to me, and so he gets touched, but not touched by sentiment, but not giddy.
Yes.
You know, he does get silly, but he doesn't, he's not lighthearted. He's very heavy-hearted. And he walked up to me in the party, and he said, you know, I've had a very hard life. Mm. He said, you know, and he has. He's an abuse mm-hmm. survivor. His father was awful to him, broke his collarbone mm-hmm. at six, mm-hmm. and threw him in his bedroom and told him that he wasn't a man for crying. And speaking of which, I heard from Billy West today. Oh. Sent nice thoughts for Deuce. And that I talked to Billy West about that situation, which reminded me. Billy is a really amazing guy. Talk about somebody who's overcome.
He's amazing. Billy's great.
But anyway, he walked up to me in his party, and he said, I have had a pretty hard life. And I have been waiting for a moment that is a reset button. He said,
that's right.
I have been waiting for that happy memory where I said, wow, this is the golden time. This is where it starts getting really good. I am loved. I am in a family. And he said, you just gave that to me.
And he told me the same thing. And I said, well, Stan, as corny as it sounds, life begins at 60. So let this be your true birthday for the rest of your life.
And he said to me, he said, this is going to be when I get down and I get dark and I get sad. This is where I'm going to go. And remember that I walked in a room and got sprayed with silly string by a bunch of people who showed up because they love me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's cool.
And he really is looking forward to coming to my lecture next month.
Yeah. So. Oh, we got to talk about that. You're lecturing at the Detroit Institute of Arts.
With Alan Burnett.
This son of a bitch is just taking over my entire life and just doing it right. Like everything that I feel like I should have done, he gets to do. He, you know, the Dinosaur Comics guy, huge fan, Detroit Institute, whatever. Go take over my hometown and be a celebrity there. That's fine. F off.
Well, out there rooting for the Lions every weekend.
We went to Ford Field
and saw the Lions slaughter the Bears.
Nice.
Oh,
barely slaughtered. Slaughtered and then the Bears caught up.
And then the Bears caught up because the Lions have a really good defense, but then they slack off for a minute and they get lazy because they get tired.
Well, the Bears are a good team too.
The Bears are a great team.
Yeah.
But the
Lions are first in their division right now.
Yeah, but they got sloppy in the fourth quarter and the Bears came roaring back, but the Lions had enough points that they were able to
waited out the clock.
But Bears put on a great show. Yeah. Lions were just the second quarter. They just kept getting interception after interception and going for the touchdowns.
Yeah, the interception to the touchdown. You stood up and spat on the front two rows in front of us. He went, blah. And I was like, he was like trying to say something and it like shot out of his mouth. And I was like, no,
that doesn't happen.
But the people in front of you were doing the exact same thing. So no one cared that it was
a waterfall.
It was a waterfall.
I was ahead waters and it continued down to
a
trickle.
And then it was Johnson like stepped on a player and ran over him. I mean, he just like jumped.
Right.
He like jumped on somebody and over them and kept going for more yardage. It was a crazy second quarter.
And we did not have Ndamukong Suh acting like a thug and grinding
his name is not Ndamukong.
Isn't it Ndamukong?
That's not how you say it. I don't know what
Ndamukong.
Just say
Suh. Okay. Suh.
Yeah. N-Suh.
It was a terrific
game.
I'm
just glad he wasn't grinding anybody's helmet into the dirt.
Yeah. It's a great game.
He can be a poor player sometimes, but
man, it was like a sing along because we were every time the Lions have a touchdown and field goal, everybody stands up and they have the singers singing the Lions fight song, and they were just singing it. It was like a musical. They kept singing it so often. It was great. So they're first in their division and hopefully they'll stay there for a while. Next week is Green Bay though, but I think they're psyched.
Yeah, well, next week is Green Bay and then we've got them again on Thanksgiving.
We got the Buccaneers.
And then after that
the Texans are in there somewhere.
The Bengals is October 20th, isn't it?
The Texans are, or the Texans Dallas, closer to Christmas.
Dallas is the 27th of October. That's a home game also.
Okay.
So the 20th of October, I think, is the Cincinnati Bengals.
It's Bengals. Then it's,
and then Cowboys.
Then it's Cowboys. Then they're back with the Buccaneers and Green Bay.
How does a pirate hear?
How?
With his Buccaneers.
Oh, I thought you were going to say with his R's.
No.
His R's?
How does how does a pirate buccaneer with his Buccaneers? That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to set you up because it should have been an obvious punchline.
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
Q?
R.
No, I said that on purpose because it was all set up.
You think it's the R, but it's actually the C.
I still stick with R.
Oh, I like that one. That's funny.
Yeah. I like it.
I like that.
All right.
Let's end with that. Right. Let's end it right now. Smell you, Ezra.
Okay. Smell you, Ezra.
What's with your good joke going out on a good Ezra joke?
Okay.
The C. R. I told a guy, walked into the Halloween costume store today with a dachshund on his shoulder. You think I'm setting up a joke, but I'm not. That really happened. And I said to him, I said, why don't you dress as a pirate and dress that thing as a parrot? And he turned around and he goes, I like it. Do you have a doggy parrot costume? And they said no. And he goes, I'm going to go home and shop on Amazon.
You know someone's got one.
Yeah, there has to be.
Of course there's a doggy. I mean, if not, there's a dog bird, you know. Yeah. But there's got to be a parrot.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Isn't that funny? Yep. And he goes, oh, he just likes it up there. The dog did not like it.
That's like a setup. You're right. That is a setup for a dog. I wonder why the wiener dog.
So this guy walks into a costume shop with a dachshund on his shoulder. Like, yes, that's a setup for a joke. And what does he say? Let's finish the joke. Okay, guys, finish the joke. Person who finishes the joke best is going to get a prize.
All right. Okay. Oh, you know, when my mom had her stroke.
Speaking of which, did we get all those?
I sent you the email with the names of the people. Yeah, I can give it to you again.
I'm sure I have it. I just didn't see it.
I'm
busy with Deuces.
When my mom had her stroke.
Yeah. Please don't tell me a joke about strokes.
No, I said.
Was saying they had a stroke in their eye?
I told her a joke. I wanted to see if she would respond.
Oh, yeah, you told us that on here, and she didn't like it.
Oh, did I already say that?
He told this story, didn't he?
Didn't he?
Don't remember.
Oh, she said Paul. Oh, all right, will you tell it again, just in case?
Oh, I said, okay, I have a new joke. And she goes, what is it? And I said, a duck walks into a bar, and she goes,
And
I said, well, that's it. It's pretty funny, isn't it? Duck walk into a bar. And she said, that's an awful joke. That has no point to it. I mean, I thought it would be funny. And then I knew my mom was in good shape, because if she had laughed at it, I would have thought, oh, crap. Because it's a non-joke. But she knew that it was a lame joke, and she said, I want a better joke next time.
All want a better joke. You got any more?
What is the difference between a tuna, a piano, and glue?
I don't know.
You can tune a piano, but you can't piano a tuna.
The glue?
I knew you'd get stuck on a glue.
No. Nope, you gotta come up with a better one.
Come on.
No.
A duck walks into a bar. The end.
That was the same Wally popsicle stick that I got the other one from.
That's terrible. No, I'm going to go get my Basil Brush Boom Boom book and we'll go out.
Oh, not the Basil Brush Boom Boom book.
I love Basil Brush.
Well, who doesn't love Basil Brush? He's terrific.
Boom Boom?
Basil Brush is a British character. He's a fox. He's a puppet.
Oh.
He dresses like a toff, you know, a little gentleman. And he talks like this, I live in Basil Brush, boom, boom, oh, you know, he's a little fox, and he wears what kind of looks like a little fox hunting outfit, although now he wears a little green jacket, and he just hangs out with the British children who annoys them.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
It's the Basil Brush Jokeshinary.
Boom, boom.
The boomtastic A to Z of jokes, boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
This is a TV show, or?
In Great Britain, in the UK.
It's been running for 40 years, 40, 50 years, Basil.
You do? Early 60s. I have it on DVD, but it's all in PAL.
Oops, I just spilled Coca-Cola on the bedsheet.
No, we're not in the bedroom.
Wait a minute.
All of a sudden, it's a totally different.
Did you actually spill Coca-Cola?
I did. I spilled it on the. I put sheets on the living room furniture for October that are black. And I spilled Coca-Cola on the. I'll clean it up in a minute. Okay, we're almost done. Okay.
All right.
Oh, this is. Okay.
Oh, wow, it's a good one.
No, they're terrible.
Oh.
Let's see if there's a joke about pirates, and we'll go out with that. It's all in capital, in alphabetical order. Pranks. Oh, that's good. Which monster likes to play jokes on you?
Frankenstein.
Yes. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
See, I've got you saying it. Pigs. Where do pigs most like to live?
A pigsty?
Hamerica.
Oh, boom, boom.
Yeah,
boom, boom.
That was just a boo.
There's nothing on pirates.
What do you call a plumber with a toilet on his head? Lou.
Oh.
Boom, boom.
What do you call a female plumber with two toilets on her head?
Lou.
Yes.
Oh, boom, boom. God. Oh, God.
What's the best cure for seasickness?
That's parody.
Sit under a tree. Who's the most powerful villain in the ocean?
The Codfather.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Here's one for you. What's big and green and sits sobbing in the corner?
I don't know.
The Incredible Sulk.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
What's big, green, wrinkly, and sobs in the post office on the first Tuesday of every month? The Incredible Sulk's granny on Social Security Day.
Oh, come on. No, that's not. I'm not going to boom, boom on that.
Boom. Come,
boom.
What's brown and white and hard?
Oh, no.
A hamster with a flick knife.
What?
He's a hard. Hamster with a switchblade.
He's hard.
Boom, these boom. Lose something in the translation.
Yeah, flick knife doesn't really translate well.
A flick knife.
But a switchblade does.
Yes.
What kind of fur do you get from a werewolf?
As
fur as possible. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
A man went to the doctor with potatoes growing in his ears. This is quite remarkable, said the doctor. I know, said the man. I planted carrots.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Why does Dracula clean his teeth 6 times a day? To avoid bat breath. What are Dracula's favorite sports? Casketball and badminton.
Can we be done?
Okay. What sort of coffee does Dracula have when he wakes up in the evening?
Decaffeinated.
Yes!
Boom, boom, boom. We should ask any of our friends who have ever been or lived in England if they know Basil Brush.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Doctor, I think I'm invisible. Who said that? Doctor, I keep thinking I'm invisible. I'm afraid I can't see you now. Let's be done.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, boom, boom. Boom. Here. What is pink but close to silver?
The Lone Ranger's bum.
Bum.
Bum. All right. Our honeymoon, we went to London for our honeymoon.
And this, all I did was watch
Basil And all you Brush. Did was watch Basil Brush.
And then I would go to bed.
You'd wake up at like 6 in the morning because of the time difference.
It's true.
And you'd watch and you say, I've discovered the most wonderful show. It's about a little fox puppet who annoys people. I said, oh, Basil Brush. And it's like, there he is, yeah.
Ah.
Okay.
Boom. Yeah. Boom.
Boom. Boom.
The sea.
As Misty mentioned, this is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Please take a moment to visit our Facebook or Twitter account and share our link to Escape by Misty Lee, or search for it on Google or YouTube under Escape Misty Lee. And thank you, because the more this is seen, the better the chances one more person can be helped. This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes Store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or at Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.
I think we're done.
Okay, I'm going to go back and feed the reindeer. And also there's a colony of prairie dogs now living in your sock drawer.
That's fine.
That need some attention.
That's fine. They don't need attention. They're fine in there.
Poppy. Oh, Super Rika, you're back. You see, I went through Florida. I got a car full of crocodiles and a few manatees. Manatees? Okay, well, I guess there's some...
Oh, number. The humanities.
The humanities. Okay. You can put them in the...
We
can put them in the bathtub till we figure out what's going on with them.
Oh, there's something on my leg. I don't know what it is.
It's probably one of your old boyfriends.
I think it's Super Rica.
Oh, well, that would work out too. Okay, Melody, you want to take the crocodiles and the manatees and put them in the bathtub?
No.
Well, yes, we're making it part of your job description. Come on, move them out. All right, is that it? Anything more? Or something just is in the other room eating something. We better go see to it. I'm going to say goodbye.
Finally.